genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the gold standard. Each of my guests is the gold standard in his or her profession. My first guest tracks gold, energy, and tech stocks for his subscribers. He'll make the case that the U.S. is headed for deflation instead of inflation as a result of printing the excess money for quantitative easing 2 and Operation Twist. My second guest is a master publicist for small and large businesses alike. She is known as the Publicity Hound. She'll explain how small businesses can get big-time publicity by using the Internet. My third guest is a scientist and former British Airways employee turned creativity consultant. He'll teach us creative science experiments that we can conduct on board an airplane from his latest book, In-Flight Science. And if you want to call in and ask a question or join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jay Taylor, is the editor of Jay Taylor Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks newsletter. He's a native of Ohio, but he resides in New York, and he's lived there since 1973 when he began working for Barclays Bank International. Jay studied geology at Hunter College in New York City as part of his interest in gold mining. He also holds an MBA in finance and investments from Burrich College in New York City. Throughout his career, Jay has been a commercial banker as well as an investment banker. In 1997, however, he resigned from banking to devote himself full-time to researching mining and technology stocks, writing his newsletter, and assisting companies in raising venture capital. Along with publishing his newsletter, he is currently also the host of a web-based radio show, Turning Hard Times into Good Times. Joining us from New York City. Hi, Jay. How are you today?
I'm really well, thanks.
Well, thank you for being our guest on the show and turning hard times into good times. Boy, we could use a little of that right now, that's for sure. So I'm going to tap into your expertise. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke wrote a paper way back in 2002 titled Deflation, Making Sure It Doesn't Happen Here.
Mm-hmm.
But you assert, however, that actions speak louder than words. Ben Bernanke's actions of quantitative easing 2 and Operation Twist can have no other effect except to cause deflation. Explain what you mean.
Okay, well, if we go back and really look at history accurately, the 1930s, or the Great Depression era, the policies that are being enacted now are exactly the same as those that were enacted then. And at that time, Treasury Secretary Morgenthau, who was a close personal friend of FDR, noted after 8 years, he says, we've had 8 years of all this stimulus, and we have just as much unemployment as we had when we started, and we have all this debt to boot. And so I think what we're seeing is a replay of the 1930s, only more so. And I don't think that Mr. Bernanke is being disingenuous. I think he really believes that the way to try to beat down inflation or deflation is to create more money out of thin air. But and Milton Friedman, of course, was an advocate of that as well. And the idea was that in the 1930s, they just didn't do it enough of it fast enough. It wasn't that deficit spending stimulus from fiscal policy or monetary policy wasn't the right policy. They've never questioned that. It was just that it wasn't executed properly. And this time, Mr. Bernanke promised Milton Friedman, we won't allow it to happen this time. This time, we're going to make darn sure that we're out ahead of the curve. We're going to do everything possible to make sure it works this time. Well, here we are, a number of years after, a few years after Lehman Brothers, And it's not working. And unemployment is remaining stubbornly high. It's not going anywhere. Here's what I think the problem is. I think that, and this seems so simple, it's maybe insulting to Mr. Bernanke, but this is the way I see it, and this is the way another great Federal Reserve economist named John Exter saw it. John Exter was a Harvard professor, also was on the Council of Foreign Relations, was a personal friend of the great Austrian economist von Mises. And Exter was absolutely convinced that the system and the policies that are being put into effect now, he's unfortunately long since deceased, but he was very certain that we were going to head into a deflationary depression the more money we created. Now, that sounds counterintuitive, but the problem is that the monetary system that we have now, as opposed to what Zimbabwe has, or even hyperinflationary Germany before Hitler came into power, that we have a very sophisticated double-entry bookkeeping system. And whenever there is a loan, whenever there's money creation, there's also a debt. In fact, I like to say that debt is the raw material from which our fiat money system is created. By fiat, I mean money by law, not by choice. It's not the markets that have chosen to use dollars. We've been forced to use dollars. The market has always chosen gold or silver or some asset that has intrinsic value. And that makes sense, because if I want to do some service for somebody else, I don't want to necessarily, exchange or barter with what he has to offer. I want to have a store of value that I can use to purchase what I need when I need it. And gold has that store of value, intrinsic store of value. What does a piece of paper have? Well, a piece of paper only has a promise to pay. And that promise to pay is only as good as the people on the other side of the transaction can pay their debts. And now what we're seeing here is, as the debt has risen exponentially, especially since Nixon took us off the international gold standard in 71, we're seeing debt rise exponentially. And a chart that I show when I give my talks shows this total debt of, in the United States, and I'm talking federal debt, private sector debt, that is corporate, individual, local governments, what have you, every kind of debt imaginable, is $57 trillion in the United States. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but and a lot of debt, but the problem is not the absolute amount of debt. The problem is the income is not keeping up with the debt. So we have GDP that's growing in a linear fashion, if it's growing at all, and that's questionable now, I think. And you have a debt that's growing exponentially. So it doesn't take, a lot of imagination to see how the system is breaking down. And I think that what we've done is run to the point where the system cannot take on any more debt, and we're starting a deleveraging process. Now, the politicians are trying to do, the policymakers, Bernanke, is he's trying to keep the markets from doing what they naturally want to do. The markets want to deflate. They want to get rid of the debt that cannot be repaid in any event, so that we can go on to a constructive life again, so we can start to build wealth again, so people can be gainfully employed, so that capital can be gainfully employed, because all we're doing now is creating money out of thin air and putting it to bad use. We're bailing out failed institutions. We're bailing out and we're helping the rich. That's another issue, is the lack of egalitarian. I mean, what we're doing since we went off the gold standard is reallocate wealth from the people that create it, the miners, the manufacturers, the farmers, the inventors, people that actually do things that help other people. They're getting hosed, actually, and who's really gaining that wealth are the bankers and the government to a great extent, which is gaining more and more of our GDP. So what I think the problem is inherent is, and Exter understood this, but it's not something that they're taught, that the Keynesian economics will talk about, because they don't see it this way. A couple of factors. One is malinvestment. When you pump huge amounts of money into the system very rapidly through these stimulus programs, what you're doing is you're increasing people, you're encouraging people to put capital to bad use. And we only have to remember the dot-com bubble, followed and the telecom bubble, and then the granddaddy of all bubbles so far, and that's the housing bubble. Talk about use of capital, bad use of capital, malinvestment, going into dot-com companies. Now, we've had some survivors, certainly, Mr. Gates
and Google and Facebook, and absolutely. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, there have been a number of great companies that have come out of that. But for all the great companies, there's probably 10 or 20 or 30 public companies that went broke. And the debt that was used to create that income is still on the books, but there's no income and there's no companies to provide the income to service that debt.
All right.
And that's what's happening on a massive scale. And by the way, this has always been throughout history. when these deleveraging events take place, it's always been very, very bullish for the real price of gold and gold mining industries, which is what I think the gold mining industry is the place to be right now.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. There was so much in your answer there, Jay, that we've got to dissect it and go piece by piece as we take a look at it. My guest is Jay Taylor. We're talking about the coming deflation that is going to be happening in the United States because of quantitative easing 2 and now Operation Twist, pumping more money into the economy. My goodness, there for a while, Jay, I thought you were going to be joining those protesters in Occupy Wall Street there in Manhattan, talking about the taking the rich, taking from the poor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this is really a battle royale between the Keynesian economics, Keynesian economists,
yeah,
and the Austrian economists. That's
yeah,
really what this boils down to. You are on the side of the Austrian economists, and the Austrian economists say that we don't need to print the more money as we are doing right now. But the reality is, at least since the 1960s, and possibly even before that, printing money has always been the responsibility of the government, and we've had the Federal Reserve in place to monitor that. Federal Reserve's number one job is to contain inflation, to make sure that inflation doesn't get out of hand. And to draw analogies to the 1930s, Jay, is tough, because in the 1930s, we were on the gold standard. There was no FDIC. The Federal Reserve didn't have the power that it has today. We didn't have the social programs then that we did today, and certainly not of the same magnitude.
Right.
So I'm not sure that the analogy to the 30s holds true, but I do want to drill down and talk a little bit more about this deflation, because anecdotal evidence appears to be pointing in the direction of deflation. Producer prices have been falling on a worldwide basis. Most recently, commodity prices have started falling. Even precious gold, as you were saying, has started to come down off of its highs of nearly $1,800. Consumer prices have been falling in France, Germany, and Japan for the last several months. Even the cover story of The Economist, the best magazine in the world, trumpeted that deflation is the real threat. So how can this be happening in light of the fact that most major companies running their printing presses at full tilt? We've got excess capacity in the system. Walk me through this. How is it that we are getting deflation, even though traditional Keynesian economics says you run that printing press, you get inflation?
Right. So I think what's happening is that debt is growing exponentially, and debt is by nature deflationary because it needs to be, it must be repaid until it gets off the books. There is this overwhelming, the markets actually want to go deflation. The markets want to deflate. The markets want to, would take us into bankruptcies, allow the debt to be wiped off the books, and then you could start anew, and you wouldn't have, and you could start again with new credit creation, or ideally not even credit creation, but you would just have a stable monetary system, a stable supply of money, that would then allow real, actual, honest capital that comes from earnings, not from money that's created out of nothing, to be redeployed and redeployed then in an efficient manner, which it would be if the markets were allowed to exist, or at least certainly more efficient than it is when the markets are disturbed and are not allowed to act naturally when you pump in huge amounts of money. But I think the reason I believe that deflation is such a threat, you know, if we were Zimbabwe, I'd say, forget about it. It's hyperinflation. If we could literally print pieces of paper and drop them over the landscape, you know, over Walmart parking lots or what have you, just hand them out to millions and millions of people, millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of people, paper that they can take to the store and buy the stuff they want. But that's not the way our system works. In an advanced system, we have a double-entry bookkeeping system. So when I put my money in the bank, it's both a liability and a deposit. And when a loan is made, it's a liability and a deposit. When Mr. Bernanke issues $2 trillion, it's a liability and a deposit. It's an asset and a liability. The problem is then the money gets put out into the system and it's put to bad use, and there's not sufficient income coming back from those enterprises to take care of the debt, because the debt has grown so exponentially and because of the malinvestment, the Austrian concept of putting money and capital to bad use. So what is happening, this is global too, it's not just in the U.S., but what is happening then is the system is saying we can't grow any further. Actually, the chart that I look at shows that since Lehman Brothers, we've stopped the increase in total debt in America. The debt increase is coming from the federal government, which in true to Keynesian economic theory, the government should step in and create money when the system is going down the tubes. The problem is that you don't allow the system to wash out the inefficient industries. We prop up big banks that have made all kinds of mistakes, and we're telling them, you can keep making more mistakes because you're too big to fail. But if you're a small company, you're a small bank, well, to hell with you. You're not important enough. You can die, and we don't care. And so the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and we have a middle class that's being diminished very greatly because there's a small number of people that are getting very wealthy as a result of this. It's not capitalism. I mean, this is the error that we make. We think we have a capitalist system. We don't. When you have large corporations in bed with government, that, by definition, my friend, is economic fascism.
All right.
That's what we have in America.
My
and
guess.
That's what I think. You know, the people that are the Occupy Wall Street people, I understand their anger and their frustration, but I don't know how much they understand about what the causes are. If it's simply a matter of, you know, Robin Hood economics, let's get those rich bastards and let's give it to the poor. That's not going to work very well. We need to go back to a free market system that allows markets to allocate resources because they do it much more efficiently than 6 or 8 or 12 guys sitting around the table in Washington determining what interest rates should be.
My guest is Jay Taylor. We're talking about the coming deflation that's out there. And Jay, in your answer, one of the things that I find most disturbing is that you are implying, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're implying that the Federal Reserve is basically out of bullets. It has nothing left that it can do to stop any economic crisis, because printing money certainly isn't the answer. They're out of tools. What would be next if we had a further financial crisis of one sort or another? What could the Fed step in and do?
Well, I think the Fed can use all kinds of totalitarian policies, you know, dictatorship policies, which is what they're doing now, which is why I believe Ron Paul is right when he says the Fed, that there is no constitutional authority for the Fed that have been created. The Congress simply said, we're going to do it anyway. And the courts have gone along with the Congress. But what can they do? Well, they can buy everything. I mean, that's one of the proposals. Mr. Bernanke even suggested we can go out and buy gold mines. We can buy whatever, and we'll pump money into the system. But then who owns America when that happens? Well, who owns the Federal Reserve? It's not the government. The Federal Reserve is owned by the member banks that own the capital. So the banks, it's no... The Federal Reserve has some stated policies, initiatives, and they're supposed, as you said, they're supposed to control inflation. They're supposed to be involved in trying to have full employment, which they're not being very good at right now, by the way. But the Federal Reserve's real mandate is not what it says it is, in my view. It is to take care of its shareholders. And it did exactly that after Lehman Brothers. It took care of the richest, most powerful shareholders in America.
And
we don't care about the average people. We don't care that there's trillions of dollars that the average people are going to have to pay for in the future. My grandchildren are going to be taxed to their eyeballs. That's too bad. We're going to take care of the guys and make sure all those guys from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan have their bonuses intact. I mean, they didn't put it that way, but that's what the end result is. And by the way, if the banking system had gone down, we would have had a very sharp, quick correction of this problem. But what would have happened? What are banks? Banks are made up of intellectual capital. They're people with skills and talents. It's a little brick and mortar, but it's mostly debt. It's mostly debt and money that's created out of thin air. But it's intellectual property. And those people wouldn't have gone away. They've been reemployed in some other organization. There would have been a lot of rich people who lost an awful lot of money, who were making a lot of money because they were taking... They were taking high risks that they knew they'd be bailed out for in the end.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Jay. My guest has been Jay Taylor. We've been talking about the coming deflation. Jay, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your ideas, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The best place is jaytaylormedia.com. That's jaytaylormedia.com. And there they can access my own radio show and my newsletters that I write. And I have a couple of partners, one in particular who does an extremely good job, Chen Lin, from Beijing, China, is one of the best stock pickers I've ever met. So,
all right, check it out.
JayTaylorMedia.com.
Jay, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much.